and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book.
Oh, yeah.
It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watching for Jesus Bible study for tonight. 8 to 9 tonight. My name is Thomas Gamble. I am the host of this program tonight. Thank you for coming by. All y'all from up there and up north and on the East Coast and Midwest, you're welcome. Family, don't worry anywhere else. I got some people from Brazil. I get a lot of my downloads and my website from the Ukraine and China and Canada and Brazil, Australia, go figure. A lot of them from Ukraine, yeah, and China. Anyway, family, we're coming upon a fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy right before our eyes. It's not here yet. But I will concede that part of the prophecy is being set up. When you see the picture of those heads of state, arm in arm, hand in hand, or whatever, in Paris because of the false flag of that shooting, it's definitely a false flag. Everything's falling into place. Martial law, a new EU, combining, you know, into a one law enforcement agency. All this is part of the false flag agenda. It is so obvious. Tonight, I think is appropriate to bring in some prophecy that David Wilkerson put out. An epiphany that I had myself, and it kind of, ironically, it just kind of ties up the end of the week, getting close to Friday, of course, but of Daniel's. On a personal level, I go through, as people send me, and I have my own method of research, of collecting articles. And information comes my way, and I look for a commonality, a common theme, and it's there. Sometimes I don't see it. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. And this is every day. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. You know, you get a jigsaw puzzle of some kind of a scene, countryside. You got the water, you got the mountains, and all this. So you look at the box, and then I don't do crossword puzzles, but I've seen people do them. I don't have the patience for crossword puzzles. Personally, to be honest with you, I don't see the use in it. But anyway, because you get it done, you're done. There you go. Okay. Each time you find a way to put a piece in, it's a reward. Oh, look what I found. That's another one. Now, when you're done, okay, I'm done. Yeah. Okay, give me another one. So it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, that's just me. Y'all may be a whole lot different. I know you put them up as pictures and you paint glue on them and make all this, that, and the other. I don't know, whatever. Point is, when you put them together, the blue's there, the white's there, the green's there, and you start piecing them together. It's like that match game thing. Oh, that brown's a tree. Oh, I see what that is. This starts coming to your mind. Okay. The end study of the end times is kind of like the same thing. You start piecing things together and you say, oh, that's what that is. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. And you get certain themes of articles that come to you, you find or whatever, and you see a theme for that day. And just all of a sudden it becomes apparent what you got to talk about. That's how it works. Sometimes God will wait to the last 5 minutes before I can, and I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. This is actually common. And I got a bad habit of going down rabbit trails sometimes, but I want to explain everything, but then again, it takes me somewhere else. But tonight is really, it kind of accumulates into the end times events of Daniel. This kind of works out. And I had some unrelated research in YouTube that I found out was related later. Like what happened to Nebuchadnezzar's dream. I started looking at that 2 weeks ago. And then it dawned on me, wait a minute, when I started getting to Daniel, that matches. That's some information I didn't have. And all came together. So I said, I'm going to do all Daniel this week. And that's what happened. Well, I see now that it accumulates into this shooting in Paris. And the main thing about the shooting in Paris is not the shooting itself or the false flag and all that stuff, is the fact that all the heads of state are all together in a photo. And I said, wait a minute. Who? I've seen that before. And it just dawned on me. I mean, I still can't get over that. It dawns on me that was, for about 90%, minus a few of their members, is revival of the whole Roman Empire. Right there before you. The EU. Right there. The revival of the Roman Empire. German, Swiss, French, Italy, English, Portuguese, and Spanish. They're going to add 3 more to make it 10. That's not accidental. I would suggest that it's subliminal, and they know what they're doing. It's on purpose. And sure enough, they're going to combine all the intelligence agencies into one because of this alleged shooting. Ooh, we're close. Very close. Not there yet, but we're very close. So it leads us to, there has to be a major upheaval, a major change, way beyond 911. 911 was a hiccup for a while. Then it went from those bad Arabs with box cutters to The Jews did it. And notice something. You're not seeing we found the secret camera. We found new footage. And it shows you clearly that the charges were set in Building 7. Clear. And there, bam, 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 you can see it right there. And the same thing as the pouring from the White Phosphorus grenade or the cutting of the structures. They show it to you now. This has been a film unearthed recently. Oh, baloney. They want you to know it. That's the trick. They want you to know. They're showing it to you. They've had these films since 9-1-1. It's not to just unearthed. It's all baloney. To show the worthlessness of all governments. It is documented when that's happened. Then they're going to launch the New World Order, or the World Revolutionary Plan will take place. Now, this is Bible study because it has to do with the Bible. So, here's my point. Revelation 18:17 tells you clearly. Trust the Bible. We got to trust the verse. Revelation 18:17 says, "For in 1 hour, so great riches has come to naught. Every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors, as many as trade by sea, stood far off." Now, that's not the United States. They're going to try and make you think it is, but it's not. This comes later, this prophecy here. But the United States is going down and will be divided among four nations. Well, actually, three nations and the UN. That's going to happen. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then I'm going to talk about, for one day, everything's going to change. And it has to. It can't be like 9-1-1 and drag on, because people have time to recover and think. It's got to happen like you're pouring cold water on somebody with a shock, and then you hit them. And you don't break rhythm and give them time to take a breather. One thing after the other, once this worldwide revolutionary plan takes hold. I'm going to talk about that tonight. We might go over 15 minutes, maybe. Might finish your part two tomorrow. But I got an epiphany that's going to shock some of you. I got it this morning. I'm going to lay it out for you. Either today or tomorrow. But it's one that's going to shock you. A different way, I realized that we're being railroaded. Well, that's a no-brainer. But it has to do with death. And the reality of death. How it fits today relative to the end times events. Lord, we pray tonight in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you bring us wisdom tonight. Lord, guide us along in all our Bible studies. Father, we can see through the deception, see the truth in the Bible. Grant us patience. Father, grant me patience. Give us wisdom, discernment, we pray for. Through all this deception being put upon us, the Lord, it gets harder and harder every day. But keeping us strong in the Word, with iniquity, with infirmity, Lord, to keep us humble. To take away iniquity, Lord, we pray. We call upon you, Father, for those warring angels to surround us and protect us with the blood of Jesus. And Father, we pray for our families, that we can sanctify them, and Lord, that they can sanctify us back. And Father, when the time comes, that we'll stand and stand to the end, which will be the beginning, Lord, we know. Father, we pray that these churches wake up and pull away from the controls. Father, we pray that these secret society members will renounce the blood oaths. We pray for, Lord, a spreading of the word before that famine begins of the word. That thy will be done. That, Father, leads us to that judgment day. Father, while we pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, family, excuse me. I'm going to get started. For in one day, everything is going to change. I know from the planning of the Illuminati itself, not counting the bit of scripture, that once the worthlessness of all governments have been revealed, worldwide at the same time, then they're going to launch the world revolutionary plan in one day. That's in their planning, but they don't know when that's going to be allowed to happen. Well, in the scriptures, and what I'm studying, David Wilkerson, the last great evangelist, today you don't have any. And if you do have any, they're silent right now. Virtually none on TV. I mean, not a one. TV, if you're on TV, Used to, yeah. Not anymore. Wilkerson was murdered. If you research the background of his accident, you'll find out. And even he predicted it. And then when you research what would happened, you'll find that there's very unusual circumstances. And he was one that was powerful. He was one that did not bow down like Billy Graham did and like Copeland and Hagee, Joyce Myers and Osteen and Copeland. I did say Copeland. Hagee, Hagen. All of them are now coming out in the new age. When we go back right now, not to Daniel, but to Isaiah, because they all come together. In Isaiah, he tells us in the last days, God is going to turn the world upside down. Now, they're trying to explain it with bipolar earth. Yeah, Mother Earth is bipolar. Now, notice you got the North and South Pole, no kidding. But they're trying to say that the earth is bipolar and it's going to shift and all this. But Isaiah 24:1. Says, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, maketh it waste, turneth it upside down, scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. Now, he did that around the 10th generation of up to Prelek. He scattered the nations. He moved the nations apart. That's not it. He did scatter abroad the inhabitants. But he didn't make the earth empty. He didn't make it waste. He just scattered them abroad. Genesis talks about God dividing the land after he changed the languages. So that's not it. Hadn't happened yet. So according to the prophecy, sudden judgment is coming upon the earth. It's going to change everything in a single hour. Or a single day, for all intents and purposes. And within that short span, this entire earth is going to witness a fast-falling destruction upon a city and a nation, and the world will never be the same again. Now, are they going to have a fake World War III and destroy Damascus? I don't know. Are they going to have a fake crisis that may involve a nuclear bomb? Or something like that, or a tsunami, or whatever. and lead us to the first seal? Maybe. Then comes, in the second seal, the real World War III destruction of Damascus. I don't know, but you'll know when it happens. Do know there's a period of prosperity coming. If you're attached to material things, if you love this world, if you're afraid of death, if you're afraid of the world and things in it, you're not going to want to hear what Isaiah has to say. Even the most righteous of God's people, Isaiah, what he says might be unthinkable today, but no time in history has anything happened that resembles his prophecy yet. How can an entire world be stricken in 1 hour? In 1 day, even, for that matter? You know, if we didn't believe the Bible and God's pure word, he had doubt, few people would take this prophecy very serious. Or they'd twist the scriptures to fit some other time in the past. But scripture makes it clear. In a single hour, the world's going to change. The church is going to change. And every individual on earth is going to change. I know the church is going to change according to their planning. Roman Catholic Church, which is really the basis of all religions. And the basis of the Roman Catholic Church, besides Hinduism and Buddhism, Christianity, comes from ancient mystery schools of religion, Hinduism, Buddhism, Shamanism. That's the basis of all religions. That 325 AD changed the name to Christianity. Yeah, don't associate Jesus Christ with Christianity. You say, well, that's crazy. I say, really? Well, then I ask you, which of the 40,000 sects of Christianity do you claim represents Jesus? You only have, well, actually, almost 43,000. Baptists, one. Mormons, two. Jehovah's Witnesses, three. Only got 39,997 to go. That's amazing. So which one do you think represents Jesus? I'll tell you which one. None of them. Because they all got different things in there that go against the Bible in one way. Some major, some minor. Man, if there's just one misword, it's against God. Revelation 22, 18, 19. Man, you don't change anything in that King James Bible. Everybody complains about it. Oh, you're just a King James onlyist. Okay. So you tell me one that's not, that is the Word of God. Tell me. They can never tell you. Someone will get brave and say the Geneva Bible. I can't wait when they do that. I say, really? Okay. Well, here's the Geneva Bible. John Calvin, he was a murderer. He had his own religion. The Geneva Bible was good at the time, but didn't come from the same scripts, manuscripts, documents that the King James does. Different. And the Geneva Bible corrupts scripture in subtle ways. So if you were attached to material things, if you love the world and things of it, Isaiah is going to be a little bit shaky for you. The Apostle John, he kind of gives a similar warning in Revelation. Did he not? God protected him in prison. He wasn't imprisoned. He was in a prison, but protected, actually. His writings were smuggled out. That's how they got it. In Antioch. Into the Alps. That's how that happened. He speaks of destructive judgment coming upon the city and the nation. In one day, death and mourning and famine, she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. From 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught. Exciting, huh? Which city do you think? In Isaiah's prophecy, the city under judgment will be cast in confusion. Every house is shut up, nobody coming or going. So the city of confusion is broken down. So every house is shut up and no man will come in. Isaiah 24:10. This entire city will be left desolate. In 24:12, and the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. All entrances, exits, the city are closed, gone. The passage indicates that a fire has come, a blast fire that's shaken the very foundations of the earth. 24:6. Now, if you live in New York City, I don't know what to tell you. Know something about that kind of scene. Twin Towers were attacked. Ominous fires and smoke. Unbelief turned to belief and mourning. They could be seen ascending for miles. Then you had New Yorkers down there panicked when a mass of steam erupted from below city street. Went in all directions, screaming, "Is this it? Is this the end-all attack?" Panicked. They panic on Black Friday. They panic in ball games. Can you imagine about this one? Today, you have multitudes and multitudes of prophets that are secular. They make a lot of money, too. They're saying the nuclear attack is inevitable. Target they talk about is New York or London or Paris or Tel Aviv or Washington. But you know, neither Isaiah nor John names a city where destruction of judgment falls. When you hear all this, and I'm telling you, it's not to cause fright. It's to gear you up. It may not be this generation. It's up to God when it happens. Paul tells us that the disciples of Jesus Christ, we've already passed from death to life. You call on the Lord, Jesus is your Lord. You should be confident that no matter what happens in this world, His shed blood will save and redeem you. That you got to remember. They don't want you to remember. So I say some of the same things they do, but I try to temper it with truth about your relationship with Jesus Christ is the end all. Now see, now this is kind of leading me to my epiphany. I can sort of see the connection coming up here. Actually, I'm going along with this as I go along. I studied David Wilkerson. I don't study too many. I don't listen to too many, if at all. Only a handful of folks. Ravenworth, Wilkerson. There's a couple others. I haven't heard them in a long time. None of the 700 Club. None of the TBN. None. Zero. They're all Freemasons or Eastern Stars. You know, we're not to fear any newscasts, sidewalk prophets. Calvinists that are on TV with coat and tie and have written 50 books and all that, so what? Rather, be attentive to what the Lord's doing in the world. Watch what He's up to. Sometimes you hear all this drama and all this stuff that you just want to tune everything out. Well, that's not good either. But there is only a certain amount you can take, I guess. But the truth is, God moves in the midst of these times. He's on the move. He speaks warnings to all who hear His voice. We've been warned since at least 1798 about the New World Order. But people have not connected the dots. But Isaiah's prophecy seems to point clearly to our generation. Everything seems set up. It's just like kind of waiting for something. Is it this generation? And this generation shall not pass until all these things are fulfilled. It's talking about all the events of the Matthew's Olivet discourse. The fig tree that blooms in the Matthew's is not Israel. The signs of the times are the relative to the fig tree. It's talking about the signs of the times. The end times, not the bringing of Israel. And the reason of bringing the Israel, being the fig tree, is that Israel, really the fake Israel, was allegedly put together in 1948. Well, the generation of man is 70 years. Oh, so add 70 years to 1948, you got it. No, that's not correct at all. It's just telling you what a generation is. It's not establishing some basis of mathematical formulas. A day is 1,000 years to God as 1,000 years is a day. So 1 day is 1,000 years. No. What that tells you is to God, time means nothing. That's all that's certifying. That's all that means. It's not establishing some mathematical equation. So you might be wondering, how can we be sure we're in the generation this prophecy points to? Well, several reasons. Now, according to David Wilkerson, when I was reading about him, there's a growing number of prophets that warn us an apocalyptic disaster at the door. They're always talking about it. Prophets. Not even those of the church. Secular prophets. That's making secular money. By the dozens. You've got one in Russia somewhere there, the Ukraine or whatever. Looks just like Jesus, we think, would look. Wears a robe and walks down and everybody just worships him. There's several precedents for secular prophets in Scripture. God, for one, used Assyria as his rod of correction with Israel. All governments were ordained by God, even a despotic one. He used Assyria to chastise Israel. Put them under judgment because of what they did or didn't do. He appointed King Cyrus, in which I've talked about. Now, see how it comes together? We've talked about King Cyrus this past week. He appointed King Cyrus as his servant to assist Israel. In Isaiah 44:28, that works out, don't it? That's a surprise. Now I see why I had to learn about this. Ha! That's amazing. Amazing how God works. So I know who Cyrus is now. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to thy temple, thy foundation shall be laid. You remember Cyrus, don't you? Nebuchadnezzar's dream that Daniel had interpreted. The image, the head of gold, was Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, I should have stopped when I was ahead. Nebuchadnezzar, in his dream, was the gold of head of gold. A great statue with a head of gold. Arms of silver, belly and thighs of bronze, legs of iron, and feet partly of iron and partly of clay. There's the European Union. Feet partly of iron and partly of clay. The stone was cut without hands, struck the statue on his feet. That's Jesus Christ. That stone, Jesus, became a great mountain that filled the whole earth. Well, Babylon, head of gold, 605 B.C., ended 539 B.C., and was overcome by silver, which was representative of Babylon, was the Medo-Persian Empire, led by Cyrus the Great, from 539 B.C. to 331 B.C. with Cyrus. But still, God uses secular prophets. He used the Nebuchadnezzar there to bring a prophecy through his dream. But Daniel, a man of God, gave the description of it. These also become his prophets for a season. And their prophecies can be really harder than those delivered by believers. When you check the prophecies of delivered by all manner of secular voices, newspapers and radio reports, Amos, a prophet, 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveal his secret unto his servants, the prophets. That's what he does. So a growing number of prophets warn of apocalyptic disaster at the door. Another reason, sudden destruction comes when the cup of violence overflows. Well, sensuality, perversion, greed, all that's running rampant throughout our society. Yet when God sent the flood upon the earth, it's because of a worldwide eruption of violence. Only 8 people remained that were of God. It got down to 8. That's it. Noah, build an ark. Build an ark. I don't see no water. Noah, build a darn ark. Shut up. He did. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So you find it in Genesis 6, verse 11. Nothing but pure evil. So it's doubtful, unless you find something different, let me know, that Noah was out there and about evangelizing people, like people think he did. Nobody's going to listen. It came down to, man, ain't nothing going, let's get out of here. We're building an ark. Okay. So there's right now numerous wars and bloody uprisings taking place around the globe. Is increasing exponentially. And there's violence waged against children worldwide more and more every day. You have the sexual violence of pedophiles. This has a lot to do with Satanists, satanic worship, and ritualized sex at your highest level of governments and military leaders. Children all over the world are being raped, kidnapped, and forced into enslavement in the global sex trade. It's massive. 500,000 plus disappear every year. United States only. Not counting Europe. As a pedophile in the United States back some years ago was discovered. It ran a website that advised other pedophiles on easiest places to pick up children. There's really no law in place to stop this man. That's just one of many, you know. You know, the world's largest church denomination spent hundreds of millions of dollars that was to settle the claims of those who were molested in childhood by clergy. How long you think God's going to endure pitiful cries of children who are molested by those who represent Christ? Family, this is in the United States. Man, we're not even talking about Europe yet. So when you get people like Rick Warren, Rick Joyner, Gerald Boyk, and all these guys that are not from Malta, CFR, they want to bring back America, bring back... Wait a minute, hold on a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. While we're bringing back America and all that Constitution stuff going on, how about those stopping the children being kidnapped and murdered in your own halls? How about that first? You want to bring back a country that... And this is also Europe and Scandinavia and all of them. They're forgetting about all that, you see. They better clean up their own house at the highest level first. They're secret society members. They're not going to do that. You know, thousands of children in Africa, we've heard about 2,000 were murdered last week or so. More and more. Slaughtered in tribal wars, hacked to death by machetes, and young boys, even under the age of 10, are enlisted in tribal militias, forced to murder men and initiation rites. It's all satanic. United States, the blood of millions of aborted babies cries out from the ground. Ooh, God's going to do some judgment, let me tell you what. And reports of school murders are increasing. You got that drugs that's given to children, those false psychiatrists, saying, well, your child has ADHD. There's no such thing as ADHD. It's a lie. They got sugar from a Coca-Cola's. They're acting like children. And they're diagnosed ADHD. Here's some drugs. I got a list of the drugs they give them. It's unbelievable. All the shooters in the schools have all been on antidepressants, including military and children. Let's kill children. They've all been under psychotropic drugs. That's how it opens up portals for the demonic realm to come inside. That's how that works. And then the Ouija board. Family, it's like a 9mm weapon. This thing is real. It attracts demonic entities that stick around. And then after a period of time, that demonic entity that's attached to that Ouija board or the rock and roll music record or DVD will get tired of playing around, and that's where you get your suicides of children. That's where it's coming from. And the drugs help facilitate it. It's all about demonic realm interfering, using them. It's also used to divide the families, and it works. This is the big picture. A lot of this I couldn't really say on the air in the broadcast. Some of the folks there are mixed. They never understand it. What I'm talking about tonight. I think you all understand what I'm talking about here. This is really what's going on. It is all supernatural. The aborted babies is strictly for witchcraft, human sacrifice. That's the purpose of abortion. That's the only purpose. Schools, reports of school murders no longer shock people. Continue to terrorize the children, and a lot of these are false flags. What they want us to do, some of these things don't even happen. You know what they're trying to do? Hardness to these reports. And to terrorize the children. What did they do in the 1950s? Like it's going to help. We're going to have a nuclear blast test today. So everybody jump under at the sound of the bell. We're going to practice getting under our desks. Now they know that's not going to work. But what it does, it bleeds itself into the family when they go home, and the fear continues. What do you think it does to a 5-year-old or 8-year-old? And you're practicing that all the time. That's what it's for. It's caused fear. There's no worse violence than the brutalizing of children. Heaven cries out, whoa, whoa. Your judgments have no cure. Now, so in one day and in 1 hour, God is going to change the whole world. Right now, it's holding at bay. Isaiah 24:14, they shall lift up their voice They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord, and they shall cry aloud from the sea. Because in 1 hour, God's going to change the whole world. It's important to know. There's going to be some kind of sudden cataclysmic event. The first of the final judgments of God. And this great event will cause the earth to reel. Can you imagine? More than likely supernatural. God's going to get their attention. Isaiah said that when it hits, whatever it is, there will be no place to escape. The lofty, proud city, he layeth it low. Even to the ground, he bringeth it, even to the dust. Isaiah 26:5. And the inhabitants of the earth are burned. 24:6. You know, that almost sounds like a supernatural event. A nuclear bomb couldn't even do that. Who knows? But something of that nature is coming. And once it happens, utter chaos will result. They got to have a fake one first, a fake world war, a fake event, to get everybody to come together to bring in the first seal of prosperity. When everybody's into this prosperity period, that's the first seal. The Antichrist will clean up all the rivers, money, no problems, no more, debt forgiveness, everything. Just like in 1928-29, happy days are here again until in October. In one day, America was down. How about Japan? From number 3 on the economic list to about the bottom, less than a couple of days. Y'all think about that. Didn't take long now, did it? Civic activities will stop. Society will descend into massive disorder. They will want order, chaos, order out of chaos. Government agencies will be helpless to restore any kind of sanity. They'll have to call for help. That'd be European. Be the UN. No state troopers, no National Guard, no army will be able to bring order to the upheaval. They'll have to be the world come together, whoever it is for. I wasn't here when the Twin Towers went down. I was in Kosovo. I heard about it. I had no idea, really. I said, well, probably a terrorist attack. It wasn't some lofty pilot that just got lost. I was overseas. And help poured in, from what I understand, in New York, from all over the world. An army of people came to assist whatever they could. But the scene in Isaiah's prophecy is different. This calamity is clearly beyond humankind's capacity to respond. This is massive. Way massive. As I said before, way past 911. Wherever it hits, it'll devastate the economy. Rich merchants will stand by watching in torment and weeping and mourning. They face bankruptcy. In an instant, all the wealth they amass will be reduced, right down to nothing. And you know, John of Patmos, he described the scene as the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off, far for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, a great city, for in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Wonder what it could be, who it could be. So overnight, all buying and selling will stop. Every restaurant, bar will be shut down. All drinking and walk music and making will end. Indeed, every trace of mirth and delight, joy and gladness will vanish. All the merriment, merry-hearted, do sigh. The mirth of tribe it ceased, the noise of them that rejoiced ended, The joy of the harp ceased. They shall not drink wine with a song. The mirth of the land is gone. Isaiah 24, 7 to 9, and Isaiah 24, verse 11. Now, all right. So it's a picture of gloom and doom. But not all in the prophecy. This word was given to Isaiah, others by the Holy Spirit, of Almighty God, to be delivered by Isaiah, primarily. And you know, even the secular world is preparing for it to happen. If you check out the TVs and movies. Hunger Games, Planet of the Apes, you know, all this stuff, the Jericho, all of them, survivalists. That's what this is all for. Billions are being spent, Homeland Security in the United States, England, Europe, and Israel, because the military experts warn that a world-impacting terrorist attack is sure to come. So, would a nuclear event occur in one city change the whole world? Maybe because of the fear of retaliation? Or a rogue nation sends such an attack? Well, you can be sure that within hours, the nation will be wiped out. How about the plan that Israel has in place, known as the Samson option? Look it up. The moment a nuclear warhead is launched against them, within moments, Israel will unleash nuclear missiles, devastate capital cities of all enemy states. Ah. Now that sounds to me like the second seal. The real World War III. That would be it. And what would rise up? The old Roman Empire. Revival of the old Roman Empire. Middle East taken out completely. The world is a ticking time bomb and time's running out. You know, the hour of devastation will suddenly change churches, whether they are alive or dead. Isaiah writes in 24:13. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be a shaking of an olive tree, and as the gleaming grapes when the vintage is done. You know, the image of God shakes an olive tree after it's been picked off of the fruit. So in short, it says here, he's going to shake everything that can be shaken, sparing nothing. Wow. What's going on? It's going to be a time of cataclysmic destruction, overwhelming darkness. So, it begs the question. What about God's people in the midst of all this? Kind of like to find out about that, wouldn't you? What's going to happen to the church? In 24:14, they shall lift their voices. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. So, in the midst of this terrible shaking, the song is going to be heard. Sound will grow steadily stronger. Suddenly, in the darkest of hours, a worldwide chorus of voices are going to sing praises to the majesty of God. This is what the Christians in the Colosseums were doing. They were dying, but they were singing praises to God, and that was converting people in the stands, Romans. That's why they brought Christianity in. They realized it wasn't working. They weren't killing people, Christians, enough that would deter it. By killing the Christians, it was causing a conversion in the stands. So they brought Constantine in. Man, you got to do something about this. Claim you're a Christian. Form this religion. and pull them in. And then, what they do in the Council of Trent, and then after? Well, around 1200 A.D., they started killing the Christians. Between 50 to 68 million Christians and other religions were killed by the Vatican. Pull them in and kill them again. See what they did? Man, they've been killing ever since. Sorry, but that's the truth. So you kind of get the picture? It's going to be panic everywhere. Men's hearts will fail them for fear. Fires belch smoke seen for hundreds of miles. All this sounds like the second, third, fourth, and fifth, sixth seal. Amid this devastating fires of calamity, the world is going to hear a song sung by Glorify Ye the Lord in the fires. Even the name of the Lord God of Israel. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. Isaiah 24:15-16. Now, 144,000 are going to come out there somewhere. Two witnesses will pop up. Don't know who it is, really. And when the abomination of desolation happens, halfway into the tribulation, Bible says, run for the hills for those left there. There's going to be a holy remnant that's going to be awakened, and a song will be born in the fire. So instead of panicking, the people of God will be praising His awesome majesty. Yep, that's what brings me to my epiphany. Remind me tomorrow, I will cover my epiphany tomorrow. That sound all right? Maybe I just keep going 15 more minutes. So you can imagine the joyful praise of the Lord. How's this going to happen? Well, in 1 hour, God's going to regenerate and restore His church. Dry bones will shake and rattle. The righteous will be awakened. The Holy Spirit calls multitudes of lukewarm believers back to their first love. Back from the hills, back into Jerusalem to repopulate the earth. And in His mercy, He's going to rouse those up that have neglected Him, ignoring His word, avoiding prayer, perhaps even contemplating divorce. Of course, that's another story. Suddenly, the souls will be flooded with pangs of remorse, godly sorrow. Many will fall on their knees, crying out in repentance. Are they going to do it now? No. Too much TV. Too much being placated. Too much fear being thrown at them. I've had enough. I'm going to watch Dancing with the Stars tonight. There's going to be revival put upon us of glorifying God's majesty. And the song of this revival, it will be heard from the uttermost parts of the earth. East, west, north, and south. From Arab lands to China, Indonesia, Africa, all parts of the earth. A glorious song. As David Wilkerson put it, a glorious song will rise up from the midst of the fires. And in one day, those who survived the fires are going to be singing a new song throughout the world. Isaiah 25:6 says, I'll get there in a minute. Oh, my mouse is messing up here. Why is that? Oh. In the mountain shall the Lord of hosts make all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, fat things full of marrow, of wines and lees well refined. He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all the people and the veil that spread over all the nations. We will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away, there we go, tears from all the faces. And the rebuke of His people shall He take away from all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. Well, there you go. He's going to destroy in this mountain The face of the covering cast over all people. There's hope coming. But there's got to be judgment for all that's been done since after the flood and even before. After the flood. And the veil that spread over all nations. Right now, in this time of prosperity, but not the one yet to come, the world's masses seem to be covered with a veil that's getting thinner. They're unable to see the truth of Jesus. You notice that? When God rises to shake the world through judgment, and these shrouds covering the minds of billions will be cast aside, and this veil of darkness will be removed, and then people will see the Lord in His own glory. Holy Spirit's not going to force Christ upon them. Open eyes, hearts. Rather, a remnant is going to rise up from among them. And we're not talking rebellion and war. We're talking about redemption, salvation, and worship resulting. The hearts and minds of the youth have been targeted at the education centers, at the entertainment, everything. It's really true. As I covered today, all schools and colleges, universities are Marxist, communist, and humanist. Confirmed that today. I gave it to you all. So also true of college-age students. College, whose faith has been bombarded for up to 4 years. Well, how about back in Woodstock? You know, over the time, the minds have been indoctrinated by godless professors, as I talked about today earlier. I gave you quotes confirming it. The belief is attacked and mocked and scorned. Now, the young men and women, the faith is being shipwrecked and redirected. They all leave college convinced that God is dead, or they're just lukewarm. But in 1 hour of devastation, whether it's nuclear, economic, or social, these veils are going to fall away. And it will reveal the truth. And you know, these same professors who mocked them are going to realize that they face the possibility of death. A choice must be made. And they'll be written upon their hearts about eternity. And then they will wonder, is there life after death in that split second? They're going to look for someone to explain this to them. And this rally, wow, this comes right directly with my epiphany I had. It connects, son of a gun. When a song is sung, it's going to be heard by young people, every walk of life, every nation under the sun. And many are going to harden their hearts and curse God, and that at the sound of the song. But multitudes of others, what they're going to do? They're going to join in the singing of His Majesty. And 1 hour, God's going to change us as individuals. He'll call His army together. The focus of our lives will be changed. No longer obsessed about our own adversities and troubles. You'll be watchmen. You better get ready. Suddenly, so many things that we hold dear will no longer be of any value to us. I talked about that today, didn't I, or yesterday? Everything on this earth is temporary. Everything. Everything is temporary. Amazing. You climb Mount Everest. Well, 5 days after it's over, after your fingers got unfrostbitten, you got some pictures. 2 weeks later, it's like, so what? What do you do now? Everything on this earth is temporary. In that hour, everyone will turn in the same boat, though. Isaiah 24, verse 2. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress as with the buyer, so the seller as with the lender, so with the borrower as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken the word. And you know, in judgment, will not be respecter of anyone. Wheat and the tares. It's going to touch all who are within the realm of its fury. Presidents, kings, world's richest and most famous. All will tremble just like the poorest of the earth. And you know this cataclysmic event will bring to naught every idol and purging iniquity and tearing down of all false altars. Everything that's secular will no longer be important. Therefore shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged. And this all the fruit to take away this sin. He maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten asunder. The grooves and the images shall not stand. Isaiah 27, verse 9. So the world's most prominent idol is what? Money. Right now, America's facing a monstrous financial disaster coming. Investors are scrambling to move their money out of high-risk funds. Mortgage companies are going bankrupt and all that. They're always saying to abandon ship. Take your money out. Well, money's not worth anything anyway. Buy gold. Well, they're going to confiscate the gold. That's why I couldn't sell gold and silver on my other broadcasts and other networks. They tried to get me to. I just kind of gaff it off because I didn't want to. I didn't want to tell them I ain't going to do it. I just did that. I get around to it eventually. I thought about it, but I just couldn't do it. Because I knew that they were going to take that gold when they declared martial law. And I wasn't going to sell it to nobody, knowing darn good and well that they were going to take the gold anyway. So I couldn't sell it just so I could make money out of it. I couldn't do that. That's not what I do. So, many households are in panic already. Overnight, their lives are changing, and the president of a multi-billion-dollar hedge fund one time put up his sale of a boat, 142-foot boat, 16-bedroom mansion in Colorado. His fund dried up overnight. Doesn't take long. The day is coming when sports will be the last thing on people's minds. Right now, it's fantasy football. Nothing against it, really. But I have to keep it in perspective. Not going to be $250 million deals for athletes so we can weather tattoos and influence the youth. The whole world's starving. All idols will come crashing down. Their favorite sports stars won't be so favored anymore. Idols will be crushed to dust. The playing field will be leveled. The richest and the poorest alike will face the same conditions. It'll all happen in one 24-hour period. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3, when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travel upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So this is talking about after the prosperity period. So we're talking the second seal on. So why these warnings? What good can come of these prophetic messages? Why live under this anxiety? Jesus warned Jerusalem a sudden devastation is going to come upon the city, and it did in 70 A.D., it's going to be burned to the ground with over 1 million people murdered. Christ explained it. He said, I have told you before it shall come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. John 14:29. So he's saying, in essence, when it happens, you will know that there's a God who loves you and forewarned you. You know, Paul calls these warnings light. Light insights with the expelled darkness. He says, in short, you are children of the light. Because you know what's coming in the future. And you know what's coming that a lot of the secret society members, high level government, don't know. So when destruction comes, there's a panic everywhere. I mentioned this to some of you who are my friends before. I'm going to say it again. You, by knowing this, you'll have a calm of the Holy Spirit. And people will see that. There's no way you can hide it. Something will quicken inside you. And you remember, God warned me of this. And this prophecy isn't a message of wrath of God's people to God's people, but a wake-up call to begin preparing. Remember, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Not Christianity. Christianity don't save us. Mary don't save us. Hare Krishna. Buddha. Kalkiatar. Bodhisattva. Imam Mahdi, whoever, Bugs Bunny, Elmer Fudd. They don't save us, but to obtain salvation by him who saved us, that's Jesus Christ who died for us. That whether we take, wake, or sleep, we'll live together with him. 1 Thessalonians 5:9-10. Paul says, cover yourselves together, edify one another, even as also you do. First Thessalonians 5:11. So in this day of prosperity, not the one they're talking about, but today we still have some. Some people don't. Nobody wants to hear a message like Isaiah's. I don't like telling you. Don't like reading it. I just like to go about my business. Don't bother anybody. But you can't ignore it. It's here. Been brought up. You see it happening around us. Paul said, we have knowledge that sudden destruction is coming. We're not to tremble or sorrow as the world does. Instead, we're to comfort one another in faith, knowing that God rules over every aspect of our lives if we allow him. Like in the prayer I said today at broadcast. Be sober, putting on a breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Paul says, arm yourself with faith. Build up your belief now, before the day comes. Learn your song, and you'll be able to sing it in your fire. Glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel. Isaiah 24:15. So, this is the hope of our most holy faith. Our Lord causes a song to come out of the darkness of our times. So, you start now. Build up your holy faith in him, no matter what. Learn to praise his majesty quietly in your heart. Watch what goes on. When you sing your song, you'll strengthen, encourage those around you. It will testify to the world. Our Lord reigns over the flood. Now, my epiphany, I'm going to go ahead, even though it's 9:14. I think I got to tell you now why it's hot. I see now where it fits. I had epiphany this morning. I didn't know where it fit. I had no clue. I had no clue what I was going to talk about this afternoon, to tell you the truth, until about, a couple of hours ago. And I just realized it all comes together. That's the truth. Here's where it goes. What I wrote down this morning, 6:30 or 6 o'clock, that's how it happens. Death is mercy for those who follow the Lord. Whoa, what a thought that is. Let me tell you why. Satan is prince of this world, is he not? Death for the believer is taking you out before the rapture, or the rapture itself, and before judgment comes from a world that will receive total judgment upon it. See, this matches what I've been talking about now. Death takes you out of it. It removes you. In the Colosseums, in the days of the Rome, the death of the Christians was converting the ones in the stands. It was taking them away from a world that was sinful and taking them to heaven. Even there's one centurion that would feed the Christians to the lions. He was so amazed at the faith that the Christians had knowingly facing death, sure death, that he took off his armor and joined them and died with them. He took off his armor and he joined them. Granted, the death, bad, we see it that way. Death culture says it's bad. Death is final, you never see anything. That's what they teach us in school, really. The subtle ways, called death education. And the ways they died wasn't always pleasant either. But this was to deter anyone who might follow. However, it never succeeded. The Vatican murdered 50 to 68 million people after that. About 500-600 years later, it was like 1200 AD to 1800 AD. 50 to 68 million were murdered by the Vatican. In France, Saint Bartholomew Massacre, 16th century, 100,100 were murdered in 1 week. Camp Jasenovac, 1943 to 45, 825,000. Combination of Serb Orthodox Christians, Jews, and Gypsies. Total 825,000 in one concentration camp ran by the Vatican, Ustasha, up to 1943-45. They were worse than the SS. And Bishop Stefanich was one of the administrators. They tried to hide this truth back when they were going to canonize him. Even today, Pol Pot, Saddam Hussein, the list just goes on and on and on. Here you got 12 people die in France, allegedly, even if it was or didn't. And you get what? Something's funny going on here, you know. Now, once God has removed his believers, here it comes. The persecution in the fifth seal. Before the trumpet. There will be a rapture before the first trumpet. Has to be. Because you're not appointed to wrath. There will be those that will flee to the mountains when the Antichrist marches into Jerusalem and says, "This is mine. I'm God. Stop the sacrifices. You will worship me from now on." When he does that, those in Judea to flee the mountains. Not to escape the Antichrist, but to go where they will be protected by God when God's judgment comes down upon them. It's for God's protection, divine guidance of the Jewish race to start the human race all over again once the seven trumpets have finished. Armageddon is not China and 200 million men. Armageddon will be the transhumanized supernatural army of Satan. He thinks they're going to go up against God, going to go against Jesus in his return. That's what that really is. Hence the 100-pound hailstone. You won't have much of any humans left by the seventh trumpet. It's not China, for goodness sakes. Then comes the sixth seal, though. after the souls on the altar, sixth seal, then the abomination of desolation. The sixth seal brings on the one blood moon. Sun will be darkened. Earthquake beyond your imagination. There you go. And boy, he got everybody's attention then. You take control of Jerusalem, and God will sound the trumpet of judgment. And during the days of persecution, those who reject Lucifer, not believers even, will also be killed. But their souls will go to hell. But during the days of persecution, the believer and the unbelievers will be mixed in the camps before death. Now you see, they'll be afraid. It will be your time to witness and lead to conversion those that are in fear. Now, for those who mock God, and watch this, what God put on my heart to tell you. For those who mock God all this time, for those who seek after eternal life by all these means they come up with, transhumanism, stem cell, whatever, who sold their soul to the devil for eternal life and technological means and methods, for those responsible for the deaths of believers and others, they want to escape death? They will. God will make them that they will want to die, and they cannot. They want eternal life, they're going to get it for a short period of time. They will seek death, but none will find it. That's in the scriptures. God will allow it. It won't be because of technology, and they want to die and they can't because of technology. No, it'll be because God will extend their life. They'll try to find death, and they will not be able to achieve it. Because they'll be going through the judgment to die, to escape it, and it will not work. How God's going to do that, I don't know. But that's God's business, not mine. I ain't worried about it. That's way over my pay grade. Well, that's what he put on my heart to tell you. When's it going to happen? Got a clue. All you do is see the signs of the times. And this is going to happen. Boom. And you say, oh, snap, we're in it. Everybody else is going to panic, but you'll say, we're in it. Oh, here we go. And they're going to wonder why your eyes don't look like the same body else's eyes. Why are you so calm, per se? That's when you go and start your witnessing. God's going to use you. Right now is practice. You see? Y'all get ready. That's it. Now, how's that for hot sauce? Well, family, we come to the end. I had to continue, as you saw, that I couldn't break this up. I couldn't do part two. It wouldn't work. Studied David Wilkerson, studied the scriptures, my own epiphany, other areas put together. Mainly, I get some stuff from David Wilkerson and Bill Cooper and William G. Carr and Nesta Webster and a lot of folks. I put together, connect dots. Well, family, remind you all, before we go, my broadcasts are played up in highpointradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. He has networks up there in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And he's living his dream, he says. That's a good thing. He's moving right along. He's got sponsors up there. And if you're living in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, then use his sponsors. Give him a little hand up there. See what you can do. For me, he just plays the broadcasts and Bible studies, and I appreciate it. I have a website, watchmanforjesus.com, and a Facebook, Watchman for Jesus. It's what I do. Y'all have a good night. And any comments or you disagree with something I've said, let me know. If I spoke out of turn, let me know. Whatever it is, I'm okay. Just let me know. Or you want to add something to what I've said, that's fine too. Y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. And we'll see you tomorrow, 4 to 6. We'll talk more about broadcasting and little bit about the self-defense and the Bible, weapons control, some other things I want to talk about. And tomorrow's the end of the week, so we'll tie it up next week, tomorrow. Have a good night, and God bless you all. This is your Watchman, signing off.
My confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted in.
Tonight we thank you for this opportunity we have in this Bible study. And Father, you give us much more. Bring us to speed with what's going on. Lead us in the way of your ways, Father, your scriptures, your truth. To lead us in what we have to know to lead others. And Father, protect our families and protect ourselves. And give us opportunities that we can learn more. Thank you for this network, Lord. And all these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Closing in prayer. Amen.